up, you kind of get used to it, and you get up out of the water, you put your head up, and any crowd that's watching you there, your friends and so forth, you could say, hey, come on in, the water's fine. Come on in, the water is fine. Now, I went on an all-expense-paid trip to Israel back in 2016 with my wife. My wife and I, we had an all-expense-paid trip to Israel. It was an awesome trip, flying out of JFK and going to Tel Aviv and spending, almost 2 weeks in Israel, whatever it was. And I remember our Jewish guide, a fellow by the name of Yatsuk, a very sanguine guy. And I remember we went to the Dead Sea as part of the trip, and we were swimming in the Dead Sea, and that was pretty neat. You could take your sneakers off and push them underwater, and they pop up to the top, and it was really low below sea level, the lowest point there. And we were on a tour bus, and we went from there to different places on the way up, and we were heading up to Jerusalem, going up higher and higher and higher. And I remember when we finally got to Jerusalem, they played the song, Jerusalem, and my wife, I looked at her and she was crying, and we saw Jerusalem. And from there, we went to the Temple Mount, which is the highest point there coming up from the Dead Sea. And I remember making a comment that I made a comment to the Jewish guide, Yatsuk, that the prophets of God said, and this is going to happen, that Temple Mount is going to be elevated to the highest point in the world. Everest will be brought low. The other mountains are going to be brought low during the day of the Lord's judgment. But that mountain's going to be really high, and from that, on top of that mountain will be the temple that Messiah will put there on top of that mountain, the temple of God, the Jewish temple. And my boss is a Jewish carpenter. He's going to reign as the king over all the world. That's happening. Could happen in our lifetime. And from that temple, underneath the threshold of the entrance to the temple, will flow water. And that water will get deeper and deeper until you can swim in it, and it will flow down, listen to this, right into the Dead Sea, and everything that water touches, it will heal the waters. There are no fish in the Dead Sea. There are nothing that lives in the Dead Sea. Everything will be alive and thriving then in that time period when that water flows into it. Now this morning, I want to talk to you about a gushing flow that started in the city of Jerusalem and has flowed and is flowing down to us right now today. It's a flow not of life-giving water, but a spiritual flow of the Spirit of God that's flowing, and everyone and everything that it touches, beginning in the city of Jerusalem and flowing out, it makes it alive. It becomes alive. And this flow was started by the Jewish Messiah in Jerusalem. And I want to say it upset the establishment there in Jerusalem and there in Israel. You see, the establishment had made an agreement with Rome that they were going to rule over the Jewish people. They were Jewish leaders, and they were going to rule over the Jewish population, and they were going to carry out their agenda. It was a top-downward thing, and they made an agreement with Rome, and they washed one another's, one hand washed the other, and it kind of reminds me of America today. We have an established elite that kind of controls everything and kind of gives the feeling that we have democracy when we really don't. And so that was going on, and they had the media of that time, and they were able to manipulate the feelings of the people. So that when the true Messiah came, and I walked right down the place where he came from the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley into Jerusalem, and he came with a donkey, riding upon a donkey, they all said, Hosanna, the Messiah, the Messiah. They threw palm branches. The whole crowd in Jerusalem, the Jewish people accepted their Messiah. He'd done miracles. He was this great person. Yehoshua, HaMashiach, the Messiah. But then the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Herodians and the ruling council of elders, the Sanhedrin, they convinced the people through the media, no, we're going to dehumanize him. We're going to crucify him. And they called just a few days later and said, crucify him, crucify him. They turned him over to the Roman government because only the governor of Rome could give the death penalty, which at that time was crucifixion. And they turned him over, and Pilate didn't want to do it. He was afraid. But he said, you know what? He said, I have one of your prisoners, the son of a guy named Abbas. He was a famous guy. He had led an insurrection and killed people in the process of Rome, and they arrested him. He said, I'll let your Messiah go, or this guy, you choose. And they said, give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. And they chose that. And they said, his blood be upon us and our people. And that was a historic decision. Now, I want to come to this point and ask you to turn to the book of Acts. Acts, and I want to read verses 17 and 18, if you would, with me, of the book of Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verses 17 and 18. Here's what it says. I'll read it. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. You see, what happened here was that the apostles had been preaching about this Messiah. And they said, you know what? He was killed here in Jerusalem. He was buried. But 3 days and three nights later than that, he came out of the dead. He rose up again. And you know what? That is an amazing thing, and that actually happened. And the Bible says that when it happened, the guards, the Roman guards, they saw the resurrection of Jesus, and they went to tell the people. But the establishment, the leadership establishment, said, we can't let this get out to the people. And they were going to pay people off so that they wouldn't tell them that the Messiah rose from the dead. Can I say to you this morning that you can't keep a lid on the secret like that? They tried to keep a lid on it. You know, somebody said money talks and what? Everybody walks, right? People have a lot of money in this world today. And there are people that have a lot of money, and honestly, they are doing the devil's work to try to hinder the truth of God from getting out. And nothing new under the sun. And that's what they tried to do. But the Lord had rose from the dead, and he spent 40 days with his apostles, and 40 nights he ate with them. He drank with them. He had them touch the wounds in his hands. They proved that he was alive. Infallible proofs. And then he ascended back into heaven. You know, I get a kick out of people. Things are so clear, and people will deny the truth.
Right.
How many saw the assassination attempt?
Right.
How many saw the bullet hit him in the ear?
Right.
And how many heard Joy Behar say, you know, what she had to say? And some other people say what they had to say. Joy Reid and some of these folks.
Right.
What did Joy Reid say? Oh, I think some glass hit him. Like to minimize what happened. I mean, it was a bullet. They have even shown photographs of the bullet. It hit his ear. Thank God he turned his head. And it hit his ear. I'm just saying to you that we live in days when people, for their own agenda, whatever that agenda is, want to cover up evidence of clear-cut truth. And it began with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you this morning that I met him when I was 17, and he's alive.
Amen.
And nothing could change me. Religion couldn't change me. Church couldn't change me. I went to catechism. I went to church. I was born again when I was 17, and that's what changed my life. And so it says here in Acts chapter 5 that they were filled with indignation and they put them into prison. They wanted to shut this up. They didn't want to go. But I have a message today, and it's based on a Jewish leader who was a Pharisee by the name of Gamaliel. And this Pharisee stood up for not persecuting the apostles, not beating them, not coming down upon them. And he said, you better let this alone. If this is just something that's not real, it's not of God, it will come to naught. He gave illustrations of people that had tried to do things and have certain movements, but they didn't have God's backing, and it would come to naught. Why can't people just leave movements alone like that? Why do they have to raise up all kinds of opposition to it? It's because people have their own agenda. But let me say something. If you're fighting God, you're going to lose. God in one is the majority. You can't fight God. You can't stop God. You can't do what you think you're able to do, because if you're fighting God, you're not. And that's the name of my message this morning. The name of my message is get in the flow that you can't overthrow. And that's what this Jewish leader said. I want to read verse 38 and 39 is the text. Here's what it says in verse 38. And now I say unto you, listen, refrain from these men and let them alone. By the way, we could say, stop persecuting people. Stop forcing people. Let them have freedom of speech. Let there be freedom of religion. And let it alone. Everybody has that right to their own view, right? And here's what it says. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or if this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. The name of my message is get in the flow you can't overthrow. Or if you prefer, come on in, the water's fine. I want to just say three things about that. Get into the flow that you cannot overthrow, because you cannot overthrow something that God wants to grow. Look at verse 24 of Acts chapter 5. I'll read it. It says, now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. You cannot overthrow something that God intends to grow. I remember praying for the election in 2016, and Donald Trump had come here, and a bunch of people had gathered, and people asked me, should we go to that rally? And I said, no, let's pray for God to put who he wants in 2016. And I remember that he was here in Scranton, and then he went to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and spoke up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And that year, Michigan voted for him, and Pennsylvania voted for him. And just last night, he was in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and he was just shot at in Pennsylvania. Isn't that interesting? But if this thing is of God, I don't care who fights against it, that man will be the president of the United States.
Yeah.
You can't stop it. But that's just a man. That's just a man. Here we're talking about God in the flesh coming to the nation of Israel as God promised way back in Genesis, being born of a virgin as Isaiah prophesied, living a perfect life. And yet they kept after him and they kept after him and they finally crucified him. But he rose from the dead. And now he is doing things that they don't like. Like, notice what it says in verse 21 of Acts chapter 5 in the last part of that verse. I'm going to read it and you follow. It says there in verse 21 of Acts chapter 5, go stand I'm sorry, I'm reading verse 20. Go stand and speak in the temple to the people and all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But look at verse 23. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told. In other words, they put him in jail. They locked him up. They said, we have him. But God sent an angel, let them out of jail, and said, you go speak now in the temple. And they went and spoke what God had told them to say about the word of God, about Jesus rising from the dead, being the Messiah. And here they are speaking to the people. And these folks were really sad about that. Now, you know, the Jewish council was made up of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, mainly. And do you know who the Sadducees were? The Sadducees were the liberals. They didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe in the power of God. They didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead. They were religious liberals. And the Pharisees were the conservatives. They were the right wing. They believed in miracles. They believed in the resurrection from the dead. They believed the Bible was the word of God. The liberals didn't believe in any final authority. You know, the Sadducees didn't believe that. You see, the Pharisees fought Jesus. The right wing fought Jesus. But the Sadducees, the liberals, fought the apostles. And do you know why they fought the apostles? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And the apostles were saying, he is raised from the dead. You see, the Sadducees were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And they fought against the apostles over and over and over again. Can I say something to you this morning? The answer to our country is not in the right wing and the conservatives. It's not in the left wing and the liberals. They're always fighting one another. It's in the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, Jesus is always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. You see, we know that's true. We who've received him know that's true. You say, but I haven't received him. I can't testify to that. Well, I want to say to you, come on in. The water's fine. Get in the flow that you can't overthrow. Listen to the Pharisee, Gamaliel. The Jewish leader, he said, look, stop persecuting these guys. Stop trying to kill these people. Stop trying to put them in jail. If you're fighting against a man, it'll come to naught. But if you're fighting against Almighty God, you're going to lose. Perhaps today there's someone here, you've been fighting Almighty God. You know, Saul of Tarsus, the great Christian apostle, was a Jewish man from the tribe of Benjamin, and he was arresting Christians, and he thought they were a cult. A right-wing weird cult was what he thought that were weird, and he wanted to arrest them, and he was having them killed. And he became the greatest missionary, because while he was going north into Syria to go into the Jewish realm to get these cultist Jewish believers, the Messiah, Jesus, appeared to him, and he came down off his horse, and he said, you're persecuting me, Saul. And Saul said, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus. I'm Jesus of Nazareth, and you're persecuting me. Because you see, when you hurt a Christian, you hurt the Lord. By the way, when you hurt a Jewish person, like happened on October 7th, you're hurting the Lord's physical brethren. And he says that when he comes back, he's going to separate people based on what they did to the Jewish people. If I were you, I would bless Israel. Amen. I would be a friend of Israel. I would not curse Israel. And we owe so much to Israel. And so I'm just saying that you cannot overthrow something that God wants to grow. And this thing kept on growing. There were 3,000 people of the Jewish people that accepted him. That church in Jerusalem grew to be 5,000, then 10,000. Some people think it went to 25,000 more people. I went there to where they baptized 3,000 people in one day at the south side of the Temple Mount. I was there in 2016 and saw the place. I'm saying it all started in Israel, and then it flowed all the way to Rome, and then it went to Europe, and then it went to America, and it's still going on, and it's a healing flow. I was a kid. I was bitter. I was upset. I had problems in my life. And I went to stay with my grandmother as a 17-year-old guy that was bitter. And you know what the Bible says? By the stripes of Jesus Christ, you're healed. He got whipped and whipped. And my grandmother was talking about him being crucified. And the lights went on and I realized he's my Messiah. I didn't get saved by going to church, going to catechism, subscribing to some religion. No, I had a personal relationship with him. That's what changed my life. And that's the way that you can be changed. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Nobody comes to the Father God but through me. Yes, it is a narrow way. If I give you my cell phone, and I do have it on, I should have turned it off. But if I give you my cell phone and I give you the number, but I have one number wrong, just one number, are you going to get through to me? No. It's very narrow. It's very narrow. And Jesus is the narrow way to God. It's his way, and you have to do it. And oh boy, I got it on now. It's talking back to me. I'm going to have to, I'm turning it off. Wow. Power off, power off. It's off. Amen. And amen. It's a good message to the rest of you. I'm saying today to all of you, Rowan and all of you, I'm saying you cannot overthrow God's flow because you cannot overthrow something God wants to grow, right? It's true of Maya, it's true of Rowan, it's true of Hayden, it's true of all of us. You cannot overthrow God's flow because you can't overthrow something God wants to grow. This thing has grown. It did not stop. It's still going on. And so I want to say that to you and say number two, because you can't overthrow not only something God wants to grow, but something God wants you disciples to make others know. Look at verse 25. Of Acts chapter 5, and I'll read it through verse 28. It says, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked him, saying, did we not straitly command you that ye should not teach this name? And behold, ye fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. You know what? They said, we told you to stop talking about Jesus. You know, our former pastor, I told my Sunday school class, our former pastor, Charlie Ware, African-American guy, you can see his picture out there. He said to me, Bloom, I never got into trouble when I just lived a good Christian life. I never got into trouble when I said, oh, it's all right if I live and enjoy this Lord Jesus and you enjoy your life and I won't bother you and you don't bother me. He said, but then I realized, hey, I've got to speak up. I've got to warn my friends. I've got to tell them because there is a hell. And I don't want them winding up in hell saying, oh, why didn't you tell us? And he started to tell them. He said, I didn't get into trouble until I started telling other people about Jesus. You know why that is? Because there is evil in the world. There is Satan, and he does not want good things to happen to people. He does not want people to find the Messiah of Israel. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want the Jewish people to know it. He doesn't want the Gentile world to know it. He wants that kept quiet. And so Peter, the apostle, said, you might not want me to speak, but I've got to obey God. God told me to speak up. And can I tell you something? If you have met Jesus Christ and you keep it to yourself, you are guilty of people's blood. Their blood is on your hands. Where is your conscience? Paul said, I'm clear from the blood of all men, because I've not shunned to declare to you and tell you the full counsel of God. You see, I'm not in a popularity contest here. I'm here to tell you the truth. My family was mortified when Lisa came to our house. She was a Jewish girl, and I jokingly called her a Jap, Jewish American princess. And she never forgot that. That blew it. And you're here. You're here. And then she had not seen a Christmas tree. You know, Hanukkah, and we had a Christmas tree, and I got the Bible out Christmas Eve and went through all the Old Testament scriptures on Jesus being the Messiah. Exactly. Lisa's Jew and so is Jesus. And we opened our mouth and shared the good news. And you know what? That's what God wants us to do. I think of our dear friend Awilda here. I remember talking to you on the phone years ago, Awilda. And you said you were brought up in the church, but there was a veil in front of your eyes, right? And there's a veil in front of her eyes. And she was brought up in the church that preached about Jesus, but all she could see were the rules, like, this is strict, right? The rules and the church and the rules. But she couldn't see a relationship with Jesus where her sins could be forgiven by him. And when I was talking to her on the phone, she said it was like the veil was ripped from her eyes and she saw Jesus. And that's what really changed your life. And she had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you had that relationship with Jesus Christ personally? You could be brought up in the church and not born again, not saved. But if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, though you're not perfect, you'll be following him as a disciple. And you fall and you get up and you fall and you get up. But you're saved. And that happened to Awilda. And I was over at Awilda's the other day and she said, yeah, I have a coworker, pray for him. I've been witnessing to him. And Joe came to put his faith personally in Jesus. Raised in the church, Joe. Roman Catholic. Raised in the church. But he didn't have that personal relationship to Jesus. Like so many Roman Catholics, so many Protestants, and even Baptists. It doesn't matter. And so Joe came to have that relationship. And then he came to church last week. He came forward at the invitation. And he said, I have put my faith in Jesus. And now I want to be baptized. And he was baptized. We had that all prepared. We always do. And I said, do you want to join the church, Joe? And he said, yeah, I'll join the church. I'll join the church. You know, I'm just saying that not only is it true that you'll not overthrow God's flow because you can't overthrow God wants to grow something God's wrong, but because you also can't overthrow something God wants you disciples to make others know. Are you keeping it in? Or are you sharing it? Charlie Ware said, you know what? I started sharing it in my high school, and I was a little embarrassed because I kind of blurted it out. I didn't even know how to do it, but at least I knew I was doing something that they needed. You know, it's not how good you can give the good news. The greatest preacher of all time after Paul was Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, in England. In the 19th century, 1800s, London, England. And his grandfather was a preacher, and he said, Charles, you may be able to preach the gospel better than me, but you can't preach a better gospel than me. It's not how good you can speak. It's, have you met Jesus? This one that rose from the dead. This one that Gamaliel, the Jewish leader, the Pharisee leader, said, listen, if you're fighting this guy and he is God's Messiah, you're fighting God and you're going to lose. If it's just a man, let it go. Hey, last I checked out for 2,000 years, it has not stopped. It has not stopped, beloved. And I believe that God wants this church to tell it and to share it to everybody that we can. And praise God for that. I want to just say one more thing about getting the flow you can't overthrow. You can't overthrow. God wants to grow. You can't overthrow something God wants you disciples to make others to know. And thirdly, you can't overthrow it because you can't overthrow something our divine witness wants you to know. And I want you to look with me at Acts 5, verse 29 through 31. I'll read it. I'll finish here. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins." You see, God gave a witness, and here it is in verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Now look at their response, verse 33. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Do you know why they were cut to their heart? Because it wasn't just these men that were witnessing. There was an invisible witness called the Spirit of God. You know, when Jesus went back to heaven, he said to his disciples, "It's better for you that I go back into heaven after I'm risen instead of staying here with you, because I'm going to send my Spirit, and instead of me being in one place, he's going to be wherever you are. And wherever you make known the gospel, wherever you give the gospel, my Spirit is going to witness with you." You know what? I'm giving the gospel this morning. I'm standing up here in this pulpit and I'm witnessing and I am testifying. I have met Jesus, not physically, but spiritually. Amen. I am a born again Christian. I am going to heaven. I am not here for the money. I'm not here for the health. I could be retired now. I'm not here. I'm being refired now. Why am I doing it? It's for Jesus. I have met the Lord. I have met the Lord. I'm a witness. But listen, I'm not alone. There's one that's greater than I that lives in my heart, and he's witnessing to your heart. He's knocking at the door of your heart, and he's saying, "Open the door. I want to come in." But he's a gentleman. He will not break the door down. He's a gentleman savior. You have to willingly open the door. And you're not going to be forced or berated into it. It is a free country. And you have religious liberty. Thank God for that. I'll die for your right to have religious liberty. You have the right to reject the only way, the only truth, and the only life that will really heal and meet the deepest need of your heart, because you have a God-shaped vacuum. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, it doesn't matter. But I'm telling you, he satisfies, he changes, he sanctifies your life. He's a wonderful Savior. Many of you could testify to that. But the Holy Spirit of God is knocking at the door of your heart. And some people, they hear that and they want to fight against it. Have you ever had a door slammed in your face if you're a disciple or somebody? Yeah. Some people just want to sit on the fence. Like Pilate, you know. I wash my hands of this. I'm not going to. Some people accept it. Sitting on the fence is no better than fighting it, because it doesn't get you into the stream. Come on in. The water's fine. Get in the flow. You can't overthrow it. Jump in. And just like you would jump in water, say, you know what? I see what the Bible says. I see what the Savior has done. And I want to personally put my faith in Him. And you'll be saved. And if you are saved, would you let others know? Would you bring others with you to church and bring them down the aisle so they could testify their faith in Jesus Christ? Because I'm here to tell you, we're on the winning team. Just like I think it's wrong to assassinate a man, because if God wants that man to be president, you'll not stop him. How much more Jesus Christ? Do you know God wants Jesus Christ to rule the world? Do you know that the capital of the world is not Washington, D.C., or Moscow, Russia, or Beijing, China? The next capital of the world is not London, England. It's Jerusalem, Israel. Do you know that the Jewish people, He's coming back for them? And there's going to be some terrible times ahead. I hate to say it. There's going to be a false Messiah in Israel. And people are going to accept Him, and there's going to be a temple, and He's going to try to get Himself worshipped in there. But one third of the Jewish people are going to come through, and all of them are going to accept their Messiah. And they're going to be the head of the nations, Israel, and Messiah is going to rule and reign. But right now, He can reign in your heart. Right now, while He's in heaven waiting, you can be part of this flow of God. And you, if you have accepted Him, can be part of inviting others. May God help you to do it. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I just want to end by saying this.